And pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Austin. A little later, we'll be joined by Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. And as you've been listening, hopefully, to Steve Geller and the many others here at WWL. And a big day, of course, for the Saints as they trim their roster. And you will hear the word initial a lot of times, because that's the way Dennis Allen said it a couple of times today, as they trimmed it down to the initial 53 in this week prior to the first week of the regular season, the Carolina Panthers, on September 8th. So we'll have John DeShazer joining us in just a second. A little later in the show, we'll have Aaron Summers, both with the Saints digital team. John is the senior writer. Aaron is a reporter and host. And again, Jeff Nowak at the bottom of the hour as we try to break this all down and take it from 90 to 53. They can add 16, possibly 17 more tomorrow when the practice squad is formed. And let's bring in John DeShazer, senior writer, color analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans. And John, it was very obvious during the Dennis Allen press conference this afternoon that the word initial 53 was pretty clear in that. You feel the same way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always going to be a fluid situation, because, you know, you're always looking for upgrades, and that's what he has mentioned throughout the entirety of training camp, that this team will continue to look for ways to upgrade. And so if they find somebody who is released from another team that they feel can upgrade this team and help it, then they're going to add that person. Of course, you know, when you factor in the practice squad and the guys who can be called up on Sundays, that also kind of changes your roster a bit too. So, you know, obviously this team has still some needs and some wants and some areas that need to be filled, and hopefully they'll be able to do so, you know, after this initial round of cuts.
Right, and we went to camp, Irvine, California, back on July 22nd was the arrival, then the press conferences, and the first day of practice on July 24th, and I know we had talked to Saints coach Dennis Allen about, hey, you know, if we just took a couple of areas of not necessarily need or concern, but maybe some question marks, that would have been safety, right? Who's going to be the starter opposite Tyrann Mathieu, and maybe some stability on the offensive line, because you had some question marks with the rookie at left tackle and Trevor moving to a new position, and Nick Saldivari at the time, you know, kind of the starter, but hadn't played a whole lot. And so fast forward to where we are tonight, I kind of feel like that's the same situation that this team is in. I'm not saying it's a bad situation. The guys aren't, you know, capable, but those same two areas, safety and offensive line, feel like, you know, still probably not where this team, from a comfort standpoint, wants to be, and will work to get there.
Well, first you gave me a little post-traumatic stress talking about, you know, training camp, because we were there for 28 days, so that's a long time to be away from home. And second, you are absolutely positively correct, Mike. Those areas are still unsettled, and that's not necessarily a disastrous thing. But, of course, you would love for those areas to be settled. They believe Trevor Penning can be an effective right tackle, so he's going to have to kind of grow into that, and you'd like for it to have happened during the preseason and during training camp. And so there's still a little bit of unsettlement there, a little bit of unsureness there that they're going to have to work through. The safety spot opposite Tyrann Mathieu, you know, Will Harris or Jordan Howden, who's going to be able to handle that? Because that was another area of interest, obviously, that you want to have solidified. You can make do with either, or you can make do with both, but you would want one of those guys to step in and grab that position by the horns, just grab it and say, this is mine. Unfortunately, neither was able to do that, and so you're probably going to have to go through some games to see who best fits with Tyrann Mathieu on a really long-term basis, on a consistent basis, because you don't want to have to be rotating in and out game to game at that position. So you need some stability at those two positions, right tackle. You need some stability at safety opposite Tyrann Mathieu. And as you mentioned again, left guard, because we feel like Lucas Patrick might be that guy, but you got to get him in some game action and see if he's going to, you know, gel with that offensive line. So there's still a couple of things that the Saints want to work out, a couple of kinks that they need to work through.
And I would say, as we wrap up at least the offensive line point, is that the some of the challenges ahead is that we're talking about the starting five, but the fact of the matter is you're going to play 8, 9, 10 during the season. Yeah. It's rare that all five are going to stay healthy. You're going to have that second four or five guys, and that'll be the practice squad. And so that's the kind of where you're also thinking, let's not just focus on that starting five, that back four, five. And they'll probably have, Dennis said today, 10 to 12 total if you look at active and practice. But that's still a work in progress as well.
Could not possibly have said it better. Offensive linemen get hurt. You know, NFL players get hurt, but offensive linemen, we've seen Eric McCoy, the center, get hurt. We've seen Cesar Ruiz, the right guard. Those are the two mainstays on the offensive line. We've seen them be injured. We saw Trevor Penning be injured his first two NFL seasons. And so we've seen injuries along that offensive line, and they always like to say next man up, next man up, next man up. It sounds good, but you really need that next man to be a quality guy to step in for however long he needs to step in. And so, yeah, the depth is going to be crucial on that offensive line because, again, not only are you not settled completely on the starters, I don't think, but now you've got to make sure you have capable backups in case of injury or in case one of those starters falters for whatever reason. If he's not playing effectively enough, you've got to have somebody that's able to step in and hopefully hold up his end of the deal without offensive line. The offensive line is imperative. We know that those guys be cohesive, that they work as a unit, that they're in unison, that they're in, you know, they gel, they're the same chemistry. Whatever cliche you want to throw in there, they need to be as one as much as any group on a football team. And so if you're going through several guys, and that's why the Saints, you know, generally cross-train these guys. You'll see, you know, Landon Young at right tackle, and you'll see Landon Young at, you know, right guard or left guard. You'll see him moving around and those kinds of things. Those things help when guys get injured. You know, in a perfect world, you'd have the same starting five offensive linemen for 17 games, but that's probably not going to happen. So it's imperative that they have quality backups.
You know, getting to the 53 is one thing. I don't really fill out my 53 because I need to know the positions. I need to know how many receivers you know or running backs or offensive line because it's almost impossible. Because I would have been surprised that they had eight offensive linemen and six wide receivers. When you look at that wide receiver group, Bub Means was injured. Mason Tipton didn't play in any preseason games, so you can tell they saw enough, at least in Means, somewhere along the way, because he was kind of banged up early, and just in Tipton to not think that guy could clear waivers, right? To not think that he didn't want to put him out there, and he didn't even play in the preseason. So to me, that was the, if you want to say a surprise, at least for me, was kind of the six wide receivers that they kept.
I think Mason Tipton is the story there, because Mason Tipton, as you mentioned, didn't play in a preseason game. Now, when he was on the field for practice during training camp, he was busting gluteus maximuses left and right. I mean, he couldn't be covered, it seemed. And then he pulls the hamstring, and then he goes down, and he can't participate in preseason games. So to have a limited look at him, this team had to have a vision and say, okay, this guy can be useful, and not only as a receiver, because you know if he's not going to be one of the top three receivers, then what do you have to do? You got to be able to play special teams. So where does he fit on special teams? Is that as a punt returner? Is that as a kick returner? He can do both of those things, I think. And since you're going to two kick returners in the NFL nowadays, if you put Tipton back there with Rashid Shaheed, you got two speed guys back there. So you probably would have to utilize him that way because, you know, you're going to have him on the, if you're going to have him on the roster, he's got to be able to multi-purpose. He's got to be able to do something besides be a receiver if he's not going to be one of the top three or maybe one of the top four. You know, Bub Means, not really that much of a surprise to me because he's a draft pick. And obviously you want to be right about your draft picks, but he came on pretty strong late. And one of the reasons he was able to come on strong late was because Tipton wasn't on the field. So that helped Bub Means probably in terms of being able to show what he's able to do. So you do go a little bit deeper at receiver. But when you go that deep at receiver, that means you know those guys are going to have to be able to play special teams, whether it's on the punt cover team as gunners or with this return guys. You know that those guys are going to have to be able to perform in those duties. And offensive line, I mentioned, you know, Dennis Allen mentioned today that, you know, he's not so concerned about the numbers because, you know, when you're talking about adding a couple of guys on the practice squad and, you know, bringing them up and making them active on game day, you end up with enough guys. Again, it's more about, you know, making sure that you have guys who are able to play, who are quality guys, because those guys are going to have to play at some point during the regular season. They're going to have to, and when they are in the lineup, they're going to pick up the ball and run with it.
One of the first moves that the team made today, this morning, was the release of punter Lou Headley, keeping Matthew Hayball, the rookie from Vanderbilt. And if you really kind of think back, I mean, I go back to like the Arizona game, and it's this battle, and in that game, Headley had three inside the 20, he had four punts, 46-yard average, and a net of 41, so, you know, only the 5-yard difference. And Hayball had three punts, 53-yard average, you know, boomed a 61-yarder, but his net was 35. So they're returning them, you know, you're out-kicking your coverage, and I'm like, wow, this is like Headley's job to lose. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, Hayball, to me, just kept doing what he is doing. And I guess I break it down like this, and this is probably way too simple, but that Headley, I mean, that Matthew Hayball, with practice, maybe not as effective, but can do the things that Lou Headley was doing. All punters do it. Kick it off the end of the football, get it inside the 20. They're all doing it. But can Headley do what Hayball has the leg strength to do? And I'm not sure he does. And they felt like he can do both. And we got one that can only do, you know, one as good. I mean, what were your thoughts along those lines from the punting standpoint?
Yeah, I think that hits that nail on the head, too, because I think, you know, and then Sally mentioned that, you know, Hayball's got the stronger leg. Not only is he younger, but he's got the stronger leg. And so both of them, you know, can kick it Aussie style. We know that. But can you, when you're deep in your territory, unload the one that flips the field? That's what was missing from the Saints last year. You know, and that's one of the things that they didn't ask Headley to do last year. In Headley's defense, he was brought in because of his style. You know, he was a guy who would only kick it 43, 44 yards, but he was all net because, you know, you didn't get a whole lot of returns on that. Well, now the Saints are understanding, I think, or saw, that there were some situations where they really needed that 55, 60-yarder to flip the field, hopefully, and you got to get the proper hang time, because if you outkick your coverage and you don't get the hang time, then that defeats the entire purpose. If you kick it 65, if you punt 65 yards and the guy returns it, you know, 25, then that kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
But, you know, you got to have the guy who can hopefully, you know, work on it and get the loft on it, get the time on it, or you can get the cover team down there and cover it sufficiently. But, yeah, Hayball can do what Headley could not do and certainly didn't appear to do consistently in training camp. I mean, there were some days where, you know, you see Headley punt and you'd be like, man, yeah. You know, and there were some days where Hayball had some of those days too. But I think with a younger guy, with a stronger leg, the Saints feel like you can take that chance and kind of mold him in to what you want him to be a little bit better.
And finally, we did. We bonded. We all did, media and team and Irvine, for a month. I've never spent any time anywhere for that long.
God, that's a long time.
I was just wondering, you know, you had an opportunity to really talk to some players. If there was a player, an interview, a moment from a positive standpoint that you kind of take away from Irvine either an interview or a moment that just kind of sticks in your head.
Well, I love the Willie Gay interviews because Willie Gay, and a lot of folks don't know, Willie Gay was running around practice with a feather in his helmet.
Yeah,
and
that's how fast
he was. With no purpose. Yeah, he just said, I found it in the parking lot and I stuck it in my helmet. And I thought there was a purpose to it. He was like, no, I just, you know, it just kind of gave me some swag. But my favorite interview was, you know, I asked Cam Jordan something about moving to defensive tackle. And Cam kind of looked at me and he said, John, you've been around long enough. You know better than that, something like that. And it was funny, but it was like, you know what? He's right, but you have to ask those kinds of questions because you need the answer. So, you know, you every now and then you ask something that's a little bit dumb because you need to hear a guy actually give you the answer so you won't have to say it yourself. You need the quote on it. And so that was the one that kind of stood out to me a little bit.
Well, and I will say this because, in practice one day, I remember he was lined up at tackle. He made this great swim move or an inside move, and Dennis Allen's 30 yards away. And he's going, well, that looks like an inside rush to me. That looks like an inside rush to me. And I was like, well, okay. Well, I mean, he kind of made a point of that, him being kind of on the inside. So you were not wrong.
Yeah. And see the thing, and I remember that. I remember Dennis Allen doing that like it was today. I remember that exact rep. And what that was is, you know, hey, you're a guy who's been outside for, you know, 14 years. We need you to go inside for us. We need you to help us out. And so if you do something right, we're going to let you know you did something right because we need you in there from time to time. And I think that was Dennis Allen, you know, going for Cam's ego as much as anything, saying, hey, big fella, you can do this now. You just got to put your mind to it because, yeah, let's be honest, Cam probably a little lukewarm to it. And I'm sure you had to have a little convincing to go in there and do it. But, you know, from time to time, he's been able to do it, and he probably can do it effectively when you get him in there in those NASCAR packages.
Yep. Well, we'll put this whole mess today away, and we'll start again tomorrow and get the practice squad. John DeShazer, senior writer for the New Orleans Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com. Man, appreciate the time. As always, have a good evening, and we'll see where this takes us tomorrow.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, John. Take a break, come back, we'll talk with one of John's colleagues, Aaron Summers, reporter and host for NewOrleansSaints.com, also the Pelicans as well. So we'll step aside here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, Mike Hoss, along with you tonight on the Saints Hour, talking about, of course, the roster reduction, the initial roster reduction to 53. Saints will begin their practice squad building tomorrow, check out the waiver wire, see what it looks like, and then really, when you start thinking about the rest of this week, weekend, and then Monday and Tuesday, and then they'll finalize that roster, get to that 53 as they start working towards the Carolina Panthers. And joining us now from the NewOrleansSaints.com and their digital team, reporter, host for the Saints and Pelicans, Aaron Summers. Aaron, how are you?
I am doing great. We made it through a very long training camp, and I'm just excited that we're finally going to have a game week next week.
Yeah, well, that's what kind of, you know, I broached that with John DeShazer, your colleague who was just on, and I'm gonna begin with you where I ended with him because, man, you could tell that Irvine had impacted him. He was ready to be home. It was time, right? I mean, you know, everybody looked at Irvine a couple of different ways, and so he was happy to get home, and I can appreciate that. But we spent so much time together, media and team, and I was just curious, just kind of, you know, if there was a moment, an interview, a play, a moment with the player, something that kind of sticks out because we were so close, but yet we kind of interviewed him in an area and then they went off. We never saw him again. Mm-hmm. So we were close to him, but we weren't like hanging out with him, right? So I was just curious, just kind of what was your takeaway from a personal standpoint from Irvine?
I think that just watching practice in general, you could tell how much faster paced it was, how much more they were getting out of it. They were playing the entire 2.5 hours, and there weren't a lot of breaks, and there were rarely stoppages for water or anything. I mean, when we're in New Orleans, we're moving inside because of weather constantly, and not just the heat, you know, rain or thunder, lightning, et cetera. So they were able to get in so much work, and you could kind of just feel that the pace, the tempo was ramped up, but also the players' energy, the urgency, what they're trying to get after this season was very apparent. They talked about it a lot in Irvine, that the standard has been elevated. They've been challenged to bring more every day. And since we've been back, the players told me over the past couple of days that they felt like it was hard being isolated like that, but it also really helped them develop bonds with players that they might not have hung out with outside of practice or outside of their you know, prospective position groups. So I think that is very beneficial, especially when we go back to the end of last season when there was a lot of talk about culture and, you know, needing to kind of find that again for this team. But it really seems like this team grinded it out in Irvine. I know everyone's going to say, well, the weather was great, but it is really hard to be away for a month from your family, your routine, your normal surroundings, and have to rely on, you know, the brothers around you. And that's what they did, and they got through it. And I think that they had a lot of good work. And then on the other side, a lot of good bonding and relationships that were formed.
Yeah, I think they'll bear, you know, the fruits of that labor sometime week eight, week nine, who knows what it'll be. But I agree with you. I think there's going to be a bond there that Sean would always try to get and Dennis would try to get on these London trips or these long trips, whatever you can do to get them together for as long as possible. And I think we'll see some of that come out, maybe not right away, but in time. And I agree wholeheartedly. I was curious, you know, the focus usually is kind of on the 53-day is on those who got cut, right? Not necessarily the 53 that's remaining, but those that at least got cut today. We'll see what tomorrow brings. They have the possibility of 17 to come back if Charlie Smith is one of them. Was there anybody, I mean, this is such a common question, but what was the surprise for you, if at all, from those that did not make the initial 53?
I think when Dennis Allen was talking over the past couple weeks, he made a point of the fact that he didn't know who the starting safety was opposite of Tyrann Mathieu. So the fact that Jonathan Abram got his contract terminated was a little bit surprising to me. Did that mean that Will Harris and Jordan Howden have shown themselves to be that much better? Is it just because they're younger players? I don't know the answers are there, and Coach Allen didn't want to get into a lot of the whys when we talked to him today. You know, he kind of wants this week to play out because there's going to be a lot more movement in the roster. But I think the Jonathan Abram was a little bit surprising for me, although you never know how things could end up down the line. And then we always were, looking at that kicking battle, and Groupie solidified that. But then it was Matthew Hayball that was able to overcome Lou Headley, who had been in as the punter. So that was interesting. You know, not a lot of just surprises per se, but I think if you didn't go to Irvine and you weren't there watching Mason Tipton at the beginning of camp, you didn't see him in any preseason games. So you have no idea what this player actually looks like. But obviously the Saints really liked him because after he got hurt August 7th, we didn't see him again on the field, but the Saints wanted him, liked him enough, something about him, they put him on their 53.
And I kind of felt like, and maybe this plays into the safety role as well, maybe not, but just throughout, if there's a tie somewhere, we can't decide, it's a tie or whatever, they're going younger, right? They're going to go younger. Right. If that's my default, I'm going younger. It just felt like, whether that was planned or not, probably wasn't planned. I'm just saying that's the end result is, in a tie, let's go younger.
Yeah, and honestly, Coach Allen and Mickey Loomis have said that they felt like they need to start getting younger because a lot of leaders on this team, you look at Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, Alvin Kamara as well, they are getting older in their prospective positions, and you have to start finding the players that are going to be able to take over and fill those roles. So you need to start developing them now. And Coach Allen always talks about that, really wanting to develop the players that you have in your room. Saints do a great job of going out and identifying talent. I mean, I think they are the top team as far as keeping or signing an undrafted rookie to their squad. Four undrafted rookies got signed to the Saints 53-man roster, which was at the tops of the other NFL teams. So they're really good at their scouting department and finding that talent. But, it's about developing it and getting these younger players to come along.
We're speaking with Aaron Summers. We're going to talk more with Aaron when we come back on the other side of this quick break. You are listening to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas back here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Stay with us. Well, welcome back. This is the Saints Hour. We're talking all things Saints right now as they made their initial roster cuts to 53. We are speaking with Aaron Summers, the host and reporter and sidelines and Pelicans, you name it. Aaron's doing it for there. And it's kind of interesting because you're right. You talked about the four undrafted rookies, and you don't see it too often. Sometimes in the seventh round, which the Saints did, they released one of their draft picks, Josiah Ezrom, the tackle out of Eastern Kentucky. That just kind of, to me, that is the fine line of the NFL now, of an undrafted free agent and a guy taken in the seventh round. That line is so slim. It happens more now than before. He said, well, I'm keeping my draft picks. They're automatics. We'll see what happens. But now you're like, hey, and I feel like maybe that's some of this team. Like, if he's not going to help us, I ain't got time. It's now.
Oh, absolutely. And Coach Allen is very pointed when he talks about, I don't really care how many numbers I have in each room, although obviously you need a certain number of players in each position, but he wants a player that works hard, they're tough, they bring the right attitude every day, they support the culture, they support their teammates, So he kind of looks at more than just talent. He looks at also the person as well. And he looks, when he's trying to make those decisions, you know, who are the best people, the best athletes to help my football team, regardless of position. And this has, you know, nothing to say about Josiah Zierum, but he's from a smaller school, Northern Iowa, and maybe they liked his body type, his size, and seeing him work with the other guys on the offensive line, they realized, all right, maybe it just, we want to go a different direction. So it is interesting sometimes how some of those draft picks don't get signed, because you feel like if you get drafted, then you're almost a lock. But sometimes that's not the case.
And it's hard to tell, and maybe it's just not obvious. And so I kind of thought we would look at this 53 and be able to go, okay, that guy was kept over guy X because of his play with the new kickoff rule. And I don't know that we can do that yet, because I'm not sure what that body skill type is. I mean, we kind of know it's not, you know, it's not a defensive end, and you know, it's more of a linebacker, DB, safety, wide receiver, and those kind of realms. And so maybe that is the six wideouts. Or, I mean, you got DeMarco Jackson and JT Gray, special team stalwarts, but they're special team stalwarts irrespective of the new kickoff rule. I guess I'm just surprised that I couldn't go, oh, and I think even Dennis talked about it. It's not obvious that one guy was taken over another because of the new kickoff rule.
Yeah, I think that it goes back to what I was saying about he wants, you know, kind of the best overall athlete, and then they're going to get him on the field, whether it's defensively or in special teams. We don't know how this new kickoff is going to shake out. Even from preseason week 1 to 2 to 3, there were a few less returns, and people were doing different things with it. So I think that it's going to continue to evolve. The type of players that we see out there is going to change. At times, over camp, I heard even running back Alvin Kamara could get put back there at some point as a returner. You know, Taysom Hill. So you have starters, players that you depend on that might be in some of these return roles once they really see the benefit and the way it's going to shake out. Because it's preseason, nobody shows all their cards. So I think there's still a big question mark around what this kickoff is actually going to look like and the best way to attack it.
I had the hardest time when I came to the student and I was working with Charlie and Steve. Kind of, I can't, my numbers won't come up to 53. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. You know where the problem was? Number
wasn't
seven.
Taysom Hill as a quarterback?
Taysom Hill. Yeah. I did not, I could have put him, I didn't even have him on the list. I didn't have him on the 53. Didn't have him because I didn't have him as a quarterback. I didn't have him as a running back. I could have had him as a tight end. Didn't put him as a tight end. I knew they'd kept three. I was like, wait, where's my 50? It's Taysom. I'm like, that just shows you what he's everywhere, but nowhere.
Absolutely. He can do everything, and he's doing even more in this Kubiak offense. We see him a lot at fullback and tailback in camp, and he welcomes it, which is, you know, kudos to him because he just turned 34 on Friday. He's not getting younger, and he still is an athletic freak. He can do everything on the field. And I talked to him in the game last week, or this past weekend, and he said that he has played every offensive position except offensive line, and he has no desire whatsoever to play offensive line, but anything else he's game for. And he's still listed on the roster as a quarterback. And we will see him at times in that role, but he is going to be used all over the place, and it's going to be really difficult for opposing defenses, especially in this offense that really hides a lot of what they're doing right up until, you know, they're in the play.
I agree. I look forward to tomorrow, see what tomorrow brings with the practice squad, and start looking at this waiver wire because it's just the beginning. Appreciate your time. Enjoyed, you know, spending time with everybody out in Irvine, but also glad we're home.
Definitely. It's always great to be back home.
You're right.
Can't wait for next week.
You're right. Thanks. Aaron Summers with the Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com, writer, reporter, host, and we'll come back with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. This is the New Orleans Saints radio show with Mike Haas. It's the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Mike Haas, and we are now joined by sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who's been busy today watching that wire, watching the Saints releases, and then finally official, and got the 53. They got the guys that they waived and put on the terminated the contracts. I guess just, Jeff, before we kind of get too deep into it, is it if I looked at your 53, you know, that you did last night or this morning compared to the 53, are there wildly significant differences?
There's a few. There's a few. They kept more linebackers than I expected. They kept more wide receivers than I expected. You know, the numbers really were the biggest difference. I wouldn't say that I necessarily was super far off on the players that were kept. It's just like, you know, I was between a few at wide receiver. You know, are they going to keep Bub Means? Are they going to keep Mason Tipton? They kept both, right? At linebacker, you're looking at Jalen Ford. He's been dealing with an injury. DeMarco Jackson's been dealing with an injury. Maybe that opens the door for a Kalik Hudson. They didn't keep him. They kept both the injured guys. So that was really the main difference, is guys that I wasn't sure about. Hey, you haven't seen him in the preseason games, but, you know, they've shown enough that you want to keep him around. Mason Tipton was the one that I really had no gauge on, and it's good to see him stick around. And it tells you how much they like Mason Tipton, that they kept him around despite not seeing him in a single preseason game. I've heard some people say, like, oh, it's like Rashid Shaheed. They're trying to hide him. I don't think that's what was happening at all. I think if he was healthy enough to play, they would have got him out there. Because if you remember, they cut Rashid. Rashid didn't make the initial 53-man roster, and there's a benefit of maybe hiding a guy when you want to sneak him on the practice squad. When you're talking about, we want to keep this guy, you want to get as much tape as possible. So that was a big one. That was a big one for me. The other one, you know, if you're talking about calling it correctly, I did have Rico Payton on my 53. You know, I had them keeping five cornerbacks. Obviously, the four that everyone knows, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. And then I was kind of between a few other guys. Shamar John Charles, you know, I talked to his camp this morning, and they were a little disappointed. They felt like, hey, he had a really good camp, and he did, but he wasn't able to make it. Obviously, he was running with the ones, but they're both outside corners were hurt, so that does skew things a little bit. But I just think they felt like they could not get Rico Payton through waivers. You know, I talked to his camp as well, and they said they were getting calls from other teams kind of inquiring, like, hey, do you think you're going to get cut? Because, you know, we'll be interested. And so I think that played a role. I don't think the Saints felt like they could sneak him through waivers. You know, it was a pretty interesting day, right? You've got a new punter for the second year in a row. Lou Headley was the first cut of the day, at least as far as the reporting was concerned. So we'll see if Matt Haboh is the guy. I'm not willing to put a stamp on it yet, because I think we have to get through waivers before we – you know, we celebrate anything for a lot of these guys, but it was for sure an interesting cutdown day.
No, I agree. And I think the beneficiary of the position battle, the six wide receivers, six linebackers, is the fact that they have eight offensive linemen, probably go between 10 and 12 when you look at the active plus the practice squad, but we're not there yet. So they have eight as we speak. And, you know, I was watching, you know, the released names today and numbers, and certainly offensive line played a big role. I got to believe that's going to be an area of aggression when they start looking at the waiver wire and who they can pick up.
No question. Eight offensive line, like, that number alone tells you that there's at least one player on the 53-man roster that's going to end up moving away. Because you're not, I think nine is the number that you want on the active roster. Obviously, there's not a perfect number. But eight's just not enough, right, when you talk about backing up each position. So we'll see. The other position that was interesting is defensive tackle, and I have to wonder if Colin Saunders' injury, dealing with a calf issue, was a factor. Because I did not, for the life of me, think they were going to keep five defensive tackles. I thought they might keep three. Usually four is a safe number, but you're talking about, you know, Nathan Shepard, Colin Saunders, then Brian Brzee, Christian Boyd, the rookie, and Kendall Vickers, who I did not expect to be kept. And I do wonder if the depth issue there with Collins' injury maybe was a factor. They only used one of those IR slots that they could have in the preseason. So that's helpful in terms of, I think you're optimistic that some of these guys with injuries, like Nick Saldiveri, Jalen Ford, DeMarco Jackson, they're not going to miss significant time. You're hopeful to get them back in the first month of the season. But yeah, and you wonder, okay, are there players that they're going to shift to IR? But they could have done that today if they wanted to. So I think that is a pretty safe indicator that some of these guys will be coming back.
All right, they could have done it with two. They did it with one, and that was Kendra Miller, designated to return. So He is out for a minimum of four, could return as early as week five at Kansas City, which is just, it's just to say that sentence for that guy who was at the first practice and had the, you know, the hamstring issue, it's just baffling. It's just baffling. But I want him to be out there. Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's a young kid. I want him to get out there and you know, learn to be an NFL player. And I think he's got the skills. It's just, the whole thing is just baffling.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, it's funny because you look at Isaiah Foskey and you look at Kendre Miller, and I think they're both kind of talked about as players that I've heard a lot of people saying, hey, cut both of these guys. Now, I think in year two, you're not going to do that unless there are mitigating factors beyond struggling on the field, which I think would have to be the case to cut Foskey. And the thing is, you're talking about a player who, by all accounts, is doing everything right. He's working hard. The coaches say that he's taking steps in practice. We're not necessarily seeing that in the game. And that alone, in year two for a second-round pick, is enough to keep you on the roster, right? Like, this is a team that scouted you. They have faith that you'll develop over time. With Kendre, it's the opposite, where we've seen him flash on the field. We've seen him. That Week 18 game, I would argue, was the best single running back game of any running back last year, right, in terms of the performances they've had. The Saints had, I've said this stat a million times, the Saints had two plays of 30-plus yards from the running back position last year. Kendre Miller had both of them. One was in Week 5 against the Patriots. One was in Week 9 against the Bears. It was the play he hurt his ankle on. So the explosive plays on the running back position, you look at Kendre and you're like, this is a guy who can provide those, but he just can't stay on the field. And hopefully it's a wake-up call. I mean, like, I feel like we've been saying that, but, you know, they could have cut bait. They chose not to. And so hopefully he kind of sees this as a come to Jesus moment where it's like, okay, I need to get this straightened out. I need to get healthy. I need to get on the field. DA hasn't exactly pulled punches in terms of how he feels about the situation, and that's putting it lightly. So, yeah, hopefully this is something that we look at halfway through the season and we're like, okay, this was a turning point for him. Because, you know, the running back position is, it's two older guys and then a young guy who I don't think would be on the roster if Kendre had taken that spot. In Jordan Mims. And Kendre's absence has opened the door for Jordan Mims. So we should talk about that in the extent of he took advantage of that opportunity. James Robinson had a good camp. Jacob Cabote had a really strong finish to his camp. But we've been talking about Jordan Mims the entire way. He's a guy who showed up at rookie minicamp this year. He didn't have to do that. He showed up because he wanted to. He wanted to put in the extra work. He wanted to learn the playbook. And, you know, I think that commitment benefited him. And I think if you can combine, you know, if you could get that level of commitment out of Kendre to some extent, I think he'd be in a much better situation. So, yeah, well, he's going to be someone we keep talking about. Hopefully he can get back sooner rather than later and kind of get up to speed so that by week five you feel comfortable playing him if there's an opportunity to. But certainly not someone that you feel particularly excited about, especially when, you know, we just watched Tajay Spears. And he continues to be a guy that people are going to be kind of wringing their hands over. Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was tough with Tajay because you get that automatic comparison. We knew that would come. It is what it is. Hopefully he can get out there soon. Take a break. Come back with Saints sideline reporter, digital reporter for Odyssey, Jeff Nowak. We're back after this. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Mike Hoss along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak as we're talking about the Saints. I'm sorry. I just had a breath mint, and it's kind of like going down wrong. I'm like, sorry.
This is live.
Mike. I'm like, here we go. All right. With Jeff
Noah.
Wait,
can we talk about something?
Oh, God.
Mike, I know what you're making crazy noises. I just want to shout out your call of the Samson Nakua kick return was one of my favorite moments on the broadcast in years. And for perspective, and I don't know if most people realize this, as I'm standing on the sideline, I'm getting your calls piped into my ears in real time. So as I'm watching this moment unfold, I'm hearing you screaming, no! It made the moment so much better. So I wanted to mention that because it was one of my favorite moments on the sideline so far.
I just couldn't believe he ran that far. I go, come on, it's preseason. Let it go. The cat ran 106 yards. Come on, man. Turn those machines back on. The funny part was, I won't spend a lot of time on this. I kind of was late to it because we were talking about the play itself, and he was talking about Devin Hester. And that's not where I go. I immediately go to Auburn versus Alabama. And so my head was still in Auburn, Alabama. And I go, oh, hey, caught the ball. Okay, here we go. So, man, it was a heck of a run. That's unbeknownst to me, was where I was going to begin. It's a little, you know, cut 53 fact. The Saints today cut the brothers, or released the brothers, of two all-pro receivers. You don't see that very often. Samson Nakua and Equanimeous St. Brown. Clearly, both of them have more NFL playing to do. Hopefully, see what happens tomorrow. And it's those two. Equanimeous really fell behind the eight ball with the injury. And it seems like it was so hard for him to come back. But they both have similar body type, similar size, and just kind of that hunger to go up and get the football and go across the middle and do what's needed. I feel like there's more there.
Yeah, I kind of felt like going into the training camp one of Cedric Wilson or Equanimeous St. Brown is going to kind of take that role of the veteran blocking receiver, right? Like, it just made sense. You don't need a whole room of those guys, but you do need at least one of those guys. You know, like, there's a reason Traquan Smith was here for as long as he was, because he was that guy. And once Cedric Wilson kind of took over that role and never really gave it back, which was helped by the injury, right?
A bunch of them.
Tough to see a route.
Right, that's how Samson got there.
It was tough to see a route for I'm sorry, say that again?
I said that's how Samson even arrived here. They had so many receivers out at one point, you know, that the other guys were getting an opportunity.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's where you were. And Equanimeous, I think, you know, I think that tape that he put out in week three is going to help him sign somewhere else. He's a vested veteran, so he doesn't have to go through the waiver system. So he can kind of shop around and say, hey, who wants this, right? Because I clearly still have something to give. Samson, I expect to, if he clears waivers, to get to the practice squad. And that's kind of where we're at right now with a lot of these guys who got cut. At least the non-veteran players, like the Charlie Smiths of the world and guys like that who, you know, you're just kind of waiting and seeing. And then I think a lot of those guys, you want to get on the practice squad. And it's just a question of whether you can. But, you know, Samson, I wish I'd seen more from him in the preseason games. I think he had one catch, and it was on the final drive against the Cardinals.
Yeah, the back shoulder.
He had a diving attempt in that game on Sunday, but I like Samson. He's a really funny story. You know, just for, you know, one's kind of note, when he was talking in the locker room, he said, like, when Darren sent him out there to return that kick, he didn't really understand why, because he was like, 50 yards, that seems like a normal length kick. Well, why would we assume this was short? And I think that's just, like, some skewed perspective from watching Charlie Smith make 65-yarders look routine. And so suddenly it's like, oh, wait, 58 yards is a long kick for most of the rest of the world, just not Charlie. But no, Samson's a really, really intriguing guy, a really funny story. So I hope you can, a fun story. So I hope you can stick around.
Well, we appreciate it, my friend. Tomorrow we will start a new day, get that practice squad. And then, you know, I feel like this is going to be a very busy, busy team from the waiver wire, from a backup standpoint, or maybe who knows, maybe, you know, into this 53. And I appreciate it as always. And we'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good, Mike. Thanks.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, digital reporter here at WWL and for Odyssey. So it'll begin it tomorrow. 16 players on the practice squad, 17 if you bring back an international pathway program, albeit Charlie Smith. Thanks for listening, everybody. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, to Aaron Summers, to John DeShazer, to Jeff Nowak. Thanks for listening to the Saints Hour. We'll see you next Tuesday night when we are talking about week one. And the Carolina Panthers, it's close. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night. Welcome back. This is Mike Haas, and we are now joined by sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who's been busy today watching that wire, watching the Saints releases, and then finally official, and got the 53. They got the guys that they waived and put on the terminated the contracts. I guess just, Jeff, before we kind of get too deep into it, is it if I looked at your 53 – you know, that you did last night or this morning compared to the 53, are there wildly significant differences?
There's a few. They kept more linebackers than I expected. They kept more wide receivers than I expected. You know, the numbers really were the biggest difference. I wouldn't say that I necessarily was super far off on the players that were kept. It's just like, you know, I was between a few at wide receiver. You know, are they going to keep Bub Means? Are they going to keep Mason Tipton? They kept both, right? At linebacker, you're looking at Jalen Ford. He's been dealing with an injury. DeMarco Jackson's been dealing with an injury. Maybe that opens the door for a Kalik Hudson. They didn't keep him. They kept both the injured guys. So that was really the main difference, is guys that I wasn't sure about. Hey, you haven't seen him in the preseason games, but, you know, they've shown enough that you want to keep him around. Mason Tipton was the one that I really had no gauge on, and it's good to see him stick around. And it tells you how much they like Mason Tipton, that they kept him around despite not seeing him in a single preseason game. I've heard some people say, like, oh, it's like Rashid Shaheed, they're trying to hide him. I don't think that's what was happening at all. I think if he was healthy enough to play, they would have got him out there. Because if you remember, they cut Rashid. Rashid didn't make the initial 53-man roster. And there's a benefit of maybe hiding a guy when you want to sneak him on the practice squad. When you're talking about, we want to keep this guy, you want to get as much tape as possible. So that was a big one. That was a big one for me. The other one, you know, if you're talking about calling it correctly, I did have Rico Payton on my 53. You know, I had them keeping five cornerbacks. Obviously, the four that everyone knows, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. And then I was kind of between a few other guys. Shamar John Charles, you know, I talked to his camp this morning, and they were a little disappointed. They felt like, hey, he had a really good camp, and he did, but he wasn't able to make it. Obviously, he was running with the ones, but they're both outside corners were hurt, so that does skew things a little bit. But I just think they felt like they could not get Rico Payton through waivers. You know, I talked to his camp as well, and they said they were getting calls from other teams kind of inquiring, like, hey, do you think you're going to get cut? Because, you know, we'll be interested. And so I think that played a role. I don't think the Saints felt like they could sneak him through waivers. But, you know, it was a pretty interesting day, right? You got a new punter for the second year in a row. Lou Headley was the first cut of the day, at least as far as the reporting was concerned. So we'll see if Matt Haball is the guy. I'm not willing to put a stamp on it yet, because I think we have to get through waivers before we celebrate anything for a lot of these guys. But it was for sure an interesting cutdown day.
No, I agree. And I think the beneficiary of the position battle, the six wide receivers, six linebackers, is the fact that they have eight offensive linemen, probably go between 10 and 12 when you look at the active plus the practice squad, but we're not there yet. So they have eight as we speak. And, you know, I was watching, you know, the released names today and numbers, and certainly offensive line played a big role. I got to believe that's going to be an area of aggression when they start looking at the waiver wire and who they can pick up.
No question. Eight offensive line, like, that number alone tells you that there's at least one player on the 53-man roster that's going to end up moving away. Because you're not, I think nine is the number that you want on the active roster. Obviously, there's not a perfect number, but eight's just not enough, right? When you talk about backing up each position. So we'll see. The other position that was interesting is defensive tackle. And I have to wonder if Colin Saunders' injury, dealing with a calf issue, was a factor. Because I did not, for the life of me, think they were going to keep five defensive tackles. I thought they might keep three. Usually four is a safe number, but you're talking about, you know, Nathan Shepard, Colin Saunders, then Brian Brzee, Christian Boyd, the rookie, and Kendall Vickers, who I did not expect to be kept. And I do wonder if the depth issue there with Colin's injury maybe was a factor. They only used one of those IR slots that they could have in the preseason. So that's helpful in terms of, I think you're optimistic that some of these guys with injuries like Nick Saldiveri, Jalen Ford, DeMarco Jackson, they're not going to miss significant time. You're hopeful to get them back in the first month of the season. But and you wonder, okay, are there players that they're going to shift to IR? But they could have done that today if they wanted to. So I think that is a pretty safe indicator that some of these guys will be coming back.
All right, they could have done it with two. They did it with one, and that was Kendre Miller, designated to return. So he is out for a minimum of four, could return as early as week five at Kansas City, which is just – it's just to say that sentence for that guy who was at the first practice and had the, you know, the hamstring issue, it's just baffling. But I don't want him to be out there. Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's a young kid. I want him to get out there and you know, learn to be an NFL player. And I think he's got the skills. It's just the whole thing is just baffling.
Yeah, it's frustrating because You know, it's funny because you look at Isaiah Foskey and you look at Kendre Miller, and I think they're both kind of talked about as players that I've heard a lot of people saying, hey, cut both of these guys. Now, I think in year two, you're not going to do that unless there are mitigating factors beyond struggling on the field, which I think would have to be the case to cut Foskey. And the thing is, you're talking about a player who, by all accounts, is doing everything right. He's working hard. The coaches say that he's taking steps in practice. We're not necessarily seeing that in the game. And that alone, in year two for a second-round pick, is enough to keep you on the roster, right? Like, this is a team that scouted you. They have faith that you'll develop over time. With Kendre, it's the opposite, where we've seen him flash on the field. We've seen him. That Week 18 game, I would argue, was the best single running back game of any running back last year, right, in terms of the performances they've had. The Saints had, I've said this stat a million times, the Saints had two plays of 30-plus yards from the running back position last year. Kendre Miller had both of them. One was in Week 5 against the Patriots. One was in Week 9 against the Bears. It was the play he hurt his ankle on. So the explosive plays on the running back position, you look at Kendre and you're like, this is a guy who can provide those, but he just can't stay on the field. And hopefully it's a wake-up call. I feel like we've been saying that, but, you know, they could have cut bait. They chose not to. And so hopefully he kind of sees this as a come-to-Jesus moment where it's like, okay, I need to get this straightened out. I need to get healthy. I need to get on the field. DA hasn't exactly pulled punches in terms of how he feels about the situation, and that's putting it lightly. So, yeah, hopefully this is something that we look at halfway through the season and we're like, okay, this was a turning point for him. Because, you know, the running back position is, it's two older guys and then a young guy who I don't think would be on the roster if Kendre had taken that spot in Jordan Mims. And Kendre's absence has opened the door for Jordan Mims. So we should talk about that in the extent of he took advantage of that opportunity. James Robinson had a good camp. Jacob Cabote had a really strong finish to his camp. But we've been talking about Jordan Mims the entire way. He's a guy who showed up at rookie minicamp this year. He didn't have to do that. He showed up because he wanted to. He wanted to put in the extra work. He wanted to learn the playbook. And, you know, I think that commitment benefited him. And I think if you can combine, if you could get that level of commitment out of Kendre to some extent, I think he'd be in a much better situation. So, yeah, well, he's going to be someone we keep talking about. Hopefully he can get back sooner rather than later and kind of get up to speed so that by week five you feel comfortable playing him if there's an opportunity to. But certainly not someone that you feel particularly excited about, especially when, we just watched Tajay Spears. And he continues to be a guy that people are going to be kind of wringing their hands over. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was tough with Tajay because you get that automatic comparison. We knew that would come. It is what it is. Hopefully he can get out there soon. Take a break. Come back with Saints sideline reporter, digital reporter for Odyssey, Jeff Nowak. We're back after this. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Mike Hoss along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak as we're talking about the Saints. I'm sorry. I just had a breath mint, and it's kind of like going down wrong. I'm like, sorry.
This is live.
Mike. I'm like, here we go. All right. With Jeff
Nowak.
Wait,
can we talk about something?
Oh, God.
Mike, making crazy noises, I just want to shout out your call of the Samson Nakua kick return was one of my favorite moments on the broadcast in years. And for perspective, and I don't know if most people realize this, as I'm standing on the sideline, I'm getting your calls piped into my ears in real time. So as I'm watching this moment unfold, I'm hearing you screaming, "No!" It made the moment so much better. So I wanted to mention that because it was one of my favorite moments on the sideline so far.
I just couldn't believe he ran that far. I go, come on, it's preseason. Let it go. The cat ran 106 yards. Come on, man. Turn those machines back on. And the funny part was, I won't spend a lot of time on this, I kind of was late to it because we were talking about the play itself. And he was talking about Devin Hester. And that's not where I go. I immediately go to Auburn versus Alabama. And so my head was still in Auburn, Alabama. And I go, oh, hey, caught the ball. Okay, here we go. So, man, it was a heck of a run. That's unbeknownst to me. It was where I was going to begin. It's a little, cut 53 fact. The Saints today cut the brothers, or released the brothers, of two all-pro receivers. You don't see that very often. Samson Nakua and Equanimeous St. Brown, clearly both of them have more NFL playing to do. Hopefully, see what happens tomorrow. But and it's those two, Equanimeous really fell behind the eight ball with the injury. And it was seemed like it was so hard for him to come back. But they both have similar body types, similar size, and just kind of that hunger to go up and get the football and go across the middle and do what's needed. I feel like there's more there.
Yeah, I kind of felt like going into the training camp that one of Cedric Wilson or Equanimeous St. Brown was going to kind of take that role of the veteran blocking receiver, right? Like, it just made sense. You don't need a whole room of those guys, but you do need at least one of those guys. You know, like there's a reason Traquan Smith was here for as long as he was, because he was that guy. And once Cedric Wilson kind of took over that role and never really gave it back, which was helped by the injury, right?
A bunch of them.
Tough to see a route.
I mean, that's how Samson got there.
It was tough to see a route for I'm sorry, say that again?
I said that's how Samson even arrived here. They had so many receivers out at one point, you know, that other guys were getting an opportunity.
Right, right. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's where you were. And Equanimeous, I think, you know, I think that tape that he put out in week three is going to help him sign somewhere else. He's a vested veteran, so he doesn't have to go through the waiver system. So he can kind of shop around and say, hey, who wants this, right? Because I clearly still have something to give. Samson, I expect to, if he clears waivers, to get to the practice squad. And that's kind of where we're at right now with a lot of these guys who got cut. At least the non-veteran players, like the Charlie Smiths of the world and guys like that who, you know, you're just kind of waiting and seeing. And then I think a lot of those guys you want to get on the practice squad. And it's just a question of whether you can. But, you know, Samson, I wish I'd seen more from him in the preseason games. I think he had one catch, and it was on the final drive against the Cardinals.
Yeah, the back shoulder.
He had a diving attempt in that game on Sunday. But I like Samson. He's a really funny story. You know, just for – you know, one's kind of note, when he was talking in the locker room, he said, like, when Darren sent him out there to return that kick, he didn't really understand why, because he was like, 58 yards, that seems like a normal length kick. Why would we assume this was short? And I think that's just, like, some skewed perspective from watching Charlie Smith make 65-yarders look routine. And so suddenly it's like, oh, wait, 58-yard is a long kick for most of the rest of the world, just not Charlie. Samson's a really, really intriguing guy, a really funny story. So I hope you can, a fun story. So I hope you can stick around.
Well, we appreciate it, my friend. Tomorrow we will start a new day, get that practice squad. And then, you know, I feel like this is going to be a very busy, busy team from the waiver wire, from a backup standpoint, or maybe who knows, maybe, you know, into this 53. And I appreciate it as always. And we'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good, Mike. Thanks.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, digital reporter here at WWL and for Odyssey. So it'll begin it tomorrow. 16 players on the practice squad, 17 if you bring back an international pathway program, albeit Charlie Smith. Thanks for listening, everybody. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, to Aaron Summers, to John DeShazer, to Jeff Nowak. Thanks for listening to the Saints Hour. We'll see you next Tuesday night when we are talking about week one. And the Carolina Panthers, it's close. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.